Wisdom, the final frontier to true knowledge. Welcome to Wisdom Trek, where our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, to boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, your captain on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Thank you for joining us today as we explore wisdom on our second millennium of podcast. This is day 1499 of our trek, and it is time for Meditation Monday. Taking time to relax, refocus, and reprioritize our lives is crucial in order to create a living legacy. For you, it may be just a time alone for quiet reflection, or you may utilize some sort of structured meditation practices. In my life, meditation includes reading and reflecting on God's Word and in prayer. It is a time to renew my mind, refocus on what is most important, and making sure that I am nurturing my soul, mind, and body. As you come along with me on our trek each Meditation Monday, it is my hope and prayer that you too will experience a time of reflection and renewing of your mind. We are continuing a series this week in Meditation Monday as we focus on mastering Bible study through a series of brief insights from Hebrew scholar Dr. Michael S. Heiser. Our current insights are focusing on what the Bible is. Today, let's meditate on Bible study, use of common language. Insight number 29. There is no such thing as Holy Ghost Greek. The New Testament was originally written in Greek. Like every language, Greek has changed over time in script, word meanings, and grammar. Contemporary spoken and written English has significant differences from English of prior eras. This is most easily seen in vocabulary. 50 years ago, words like blog, Facebook, or chat room didn't even exist in English. There are also differences, for example, between British and American English. So it should come at no surprise that the Greek of the New Testament is different from Greek of other periods. The differences along the nature of the New Testament led many people, including scholars, to suppose that the New Testament Greek was unique and perhaps even created by divine providence, specifically to communicate the truth of the gospel. People took the idea seriously until the late 1800s. Today, it's known to be a complete falsehood. The belief's mythical nature was exposed in the late 19th and early 20th centuries by archaeological discoveries of previously unknown Greek manuscripts. For example, toward the end of the 19th century, thousands of papyrus fragments written in Greek were discovered in Egypt in a garbage dump. Greek scholars quickly discovered the Greek on these fabrics was the same type of Greek found in the New Testament and the early church fathers, a stage of the language known as Common Greek or Koine Greek. Koine Greek was a byproduct of Alexander the Great's conquest. Although Alexander's soldiers were Greeks, they spoke different versions of the Greek language. There were numerous dialects, just like there are in the world today. A common form of language was created and spread to communicate with each other effectively. As Alexander's army swept east across the Mediterranean, Asia Minor, which is modern Turkey, Mesopotamia, and India, this common Greek spread throughout the entire empire. This common, or Koine Greek, is the language of the New Testament. There is no such thing as Holy Ghost Greek. We ought not to assign a special status to it when we are doing word studies in our study of Scripture. Doing so leads to flawed interpretation. Fortunately, the Greek of the New Testament wasn't unique. It was the Greek spoken and read throughout the known world. Consequently, the message of the New Testament was understood everywhere. That moves us on to insight number 30. Learn about Hebrew poetic parallelism. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you that you need to learn Hebrew to do Bible study, although Dr. Heiser is admittedly biased in that direction. There is a lot of poetry in the Old Testament. Hebrew poetry doesn't work like the poetry as we think of it. The kind of poetry that we're exposed in school, or maybe on greeting cards, rhymes and sounds. Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Hebrew poetry, on the other hand, rhymes in thought. That is, the second or successive line of the Hebrew poetry will echo the first in some way. That's very handy to know for Bible study in books like Psalms and Proverbs. Modern English translations do an excellent job of aligning Hebrew poetry so that the English reader can tell that the lines immediately relate to one another. If we can discern that, interpretation can proceed to how the lines are echoing each other just with our eye. Scholars typically express this phenomenon with this advice. Line A is explained more with line B. Line A says something, and then line B elaborates. The only trick is that thought rhyming can be accomplished in a wide range of ways. Some examples will illustrate this. Psalm chapter 119, verses 105. A and B are synonymous thoughts. A, the word is a lamp to my feet. B, and a light to my path. Psalm chapter 1, verse 6, B echoes A, but in opposite terms. My son, the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. There are over a dozen options for understanding the relationship between lines in Hebrew poetry. The lines reinforce each other in thought. Parallelism helps us to see the elements that are meant to be understood in tandem. Sometimes that's handy for word study. Parallelism is a context for a word usage. Having an eye in the line relationship in poetry help Bible students to understand the biblical writer's intended idea and to weed out unintended interpretations. Let's return to our verse as we close today, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. And that's a wrap for today's meditation. Next week, we will conclude our trek of Meditation Monday as we take time to reflect on what is most important in creating our living legacy. On tomorrow's trek, we will explore another wisdom quote. This 3-minute wisdom supplement will assist you on becoming healthy, wealthy, and wise each day. Thank you for joining me for this trek that we call life. And encourage your friends and family to join us and to come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek, Creating a Legacy. If you'd like to listen to any of the past 1,498 daily treks or read the daily journal, they are all available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor, but most importantly, I am your friend as I serve you through the Wisdom Trek podcast and journal each day. And as we take this trek of life together, let us always live abundantly, love unconditionally, listen intentionally, learn continuously, lend to others generously, lead with integrity, and leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward, enjoy your journey, and create a great day every day. See you tomorrow.